Welcome to Holden Village. Today in the Creekside Room, Angie Miller will be discussing New Moon, a magazine for girls and their dreams, empowering girls 8 through 14, a session that includes a video, the audio of which will be recorded here.
It's 7 minutes. It's good. It was on their new show called Nick News, and it shows some of the girls in New Moon and how it's put together, and it was pretty good. And every time it's on, then New Moon gets a ton of phone calls. Just hundreds. And so it's been on quite a few times on Nickelodeon.
So you have some people
from all over the country. Yeah, I think it's 25 countries in every state in the United States. And it's about 11,000 subscribers. And then another 10,000 are bought in bookstores every month, so it's really just taken off. I was gonna say like wildfire, but yeah, maybe it's not appropriate, but it's kind of an interesting story about how it was started. I think it was started by a woman in Duluth who had twin daughters, and when they got to be about 11, she started really worrying about them, and she, you know, was thinking about her own adolescence and how painful it was, and how she didn't want, these girls were just so spunky and sure of themselves, and she didn't want them to lose that, because all of these studies show that girls, when they're 13 and 14, they lose their voice and their self-assurance and their confidence, and so she wanted to do something to stop that from happening. So she started reading all these books. Mostly they were research coming from the Harvard project on the psychology of women and the development of girls. And there's some good books like The Mother-Daughter Revolution and Meeting at the Crossroads, but there's only a handful of researchers in the United States that are studying girls. And the ones that are actually documenting what happens to a girl when she's 13 and how her self-confidence plummets and what happens. So Nancy, the woman who founded the magazine, saw that there was a lot of reading material about the problem that girls have in their transition to becoming women, but she couldn't find anything that actually helped parents or girls really deal with it. So she decided, really with no publishing experience, and she's really not a writer, to start a magazine. I mean, it's kind of, and it was only 2 years ago this month that the idea just even popped into her head. So, and then it was another year developing the magazine together with her girls. You know, all the ideas and the features and all the different departments. Originally, it was her two daughters and their friends. That was who was on the editorial board. And they did all the groundwork to come up with the magazine. And then they've expanded the board now, so it's about 25 girls between 8 to 14. But originally, it was just a handful of girls. And then, obviously, it's not just done by girls. There's professional artists and graphic designers, and the people who do the layout are all very well-paid professionals. And I bought all the recent copies of the magazines for people to look at. And then it's every other month, bi-monthly. And there's a parenting supplement that goes along with it, but it's not sold in bookstores. Not too many bookstores. Red Balloon carries it, yeah. But none of the big chains carry it because it doesn't look like a slick, glossy magazine. And so I bought some copies of this with me. And it kind of, each magazine has a theme, like this time was the rainforest and last time was mothers and daughters. And there's been one on dolls, and then the parents' publication kind of goes along with that and kind of complements what's found in the girls' magazine. So then each one of the girls' magazines has at least half of the content is written by girls. And they're not just on the editorial board. Actually, most of what's written by girls comes from all over the United States and other countries. And we get, actually, that's one of my jobs, is opening the mail. And it's fascinating because every day there's this huge stack of mail from girls from all over writing in poetry, cartoons, stories, ideas. And opening the mail is about the most fun job there is there, I think. It's really neat. Yeah, and there's just tons of really interesting things.
Just really, just kind of unsolicited stuff. Just
well, it's solicited in the magazine.
But they just...
Right, it says, you know, our upcoming issues are this, this, and this, and we want you to write. And then some girls write and ask for the writer's guidelines. You can come in.
I think they wrote me.
This is it. Oh, well, good. Come in. You didn't miss very much. So. Oh, yeah, sit anywhere. That's great. Now it'll be more interesting. I was just saying that we have writer's guidelines for New Moon, for girls that want to write. And there's also separate guidelines for adults that are interested in writing. So I brought some of those with, and you can take them. Hello. For those who were in the other room, how many of you have seen New Moon magazine? Have you seen it?
You get it, right.
Okay, have you seen it? Okay, I brought copies with me you can look at later. And these are like display copies, but it's sold in the bookstore here. The current issue is for sale in the bookstore, so if anybody wants to buy it or look at it. And then I brought brochures that people can take home. And they have applications for subscriptions. It's cheaper to buy it by subscription because it's $25 a year. By subscription. I gave a little introduction at the beginning, but I can kind of rehash some of it if you don't mind. But there's no advertising in New Moon, and the people who started it say that there never will be. And part of that is to be consistent with the idea of not telling girls how you're supposed to be or how you're supposed to look or what kind of makeup you're supposed to wear or anything like that. So it doesn't have any advertising, which is one reason why it's kind of expensive. And it's each issue is 48 pages. And then there's a publication for parents that goes along with it called New Moon Parenting. And it talks about raising strong girls, and it has information on research on girls' issues and girls' development. So they kind of go along together, but you subscribe for them separately. Originally, the people who started the magazine, Joe and Nancy, wanted the girls' magazine to have like a section in it for parents, but the girls on the board said that they didn't want any stuff for parents in their magazine, and so they stuck to it. The other interesting thing is when the magazine was first starting, the woman who started the magazine wanted to call it Artemis, who is the moon goddess. And the girls thought that was a terrible idea. And that was her first experience in really letting go of her ideas to really let the girls be in control of the magazine. And that was, it came very early on with the name of the magazine. And so the girls picked New Moon, and looking back on it now, of course, the founder agrees that's a much better name than the one she had picked out. I'm sure Artemis would kind of have raised a few wrinkly eyebrows at that name. So it was a good thing that early on the girls were really in charge of the magazine. And I can just summarize again how it started. That it was a mother who had twin 11-year-old daughters. And she wasn't a writer, she hadn't worked on a magazine or anything. But she was thinking about her own teenage years and what happened to her in those years. And trying to think, well, what can I do to stop that from happening to my daughters? And how can they were real spunky and sure of themselves, and typical 11-year-olds are that way. And so she tried to think, what can I do so that they hang on to that? And keep their voice, because she looked at her own adolescence and it was so painful and awful for her. that she wanted something better for her daughters. So she started reading books, and all the research showed that it was real clearly documented that around the time girls are 12, 13, 14, they lose their, what the researchers called their voice. They lose their confidence in their ideas, and they start looking to the culture for approval rather than within. And so an idea of a magazine literally just popped into her head as a way to help girls and empower girls. So I think now we'll watch this. It's a short video on New Moon, and then we can talk some more about it. Can most people, can everybody see from pretty good, or? I'm not good on remote, so I'll just start it this way.
Now, back to our show.
Face it, life isn't always fair. Female astronauts go into space, but it's still called manned space flight. Teachers sometimes expect boys to do better in math just because they're boys. Girls are sometimes steered away from becoming scientists and engineers just because they're girls. Many women still earn less than men just because they're women. When things aren't fair, some people sit around and complain. Others do something. What follows is a story about some of those others. It takes place in the state of Minnesota.
My name's Annie Geronimus. I don't think there's no such thing as the perfect girl. There's so many different girls and so many different ways that they feel.
My name is Elizabeth Strokes and I'm 12 years old. I really like being able to express myself, and I like to think of New Moon as a microphone for girls.
My name is Nina Scriver, and our magazine is named New Moon Magazine for Girls and Their Dreams. The magazine isn't telling them who to be, it's telling the world who they are.
I'm a sister, and her name is Nia Kelly, and she's my twin sister.
A typical magazine for girls is fashion, fads, how to get boys to notice you, and New Moon is different because we found out that that's not really what girls want.
Hello. The editorial board for New Moon is a bunch of girls age 8 to 14.
We go to a meeting every other Sunday, and we discuss things about the next issue.
It's really quite fun because we have the power to say, no, we don't like that. Yes, we do like that. Change it this way, change it that way.
I still would like to have some seasonal stuff because there's been no seasonal stuff in this magazine.
You're thinking that we ought to have that in every issue?
Yeah.
My name is Joe Kelly, and I am here, and there is his father.
My dad works on the magazine full-time.
I feel like I really connect with the girls who work together as a team.
So, do we all agree that space and time travel will be one?
Everybody?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we should have a whole one on books and writing and stuff.
The New Moon headquarters are in Duluth, Minnesota, in the attic of my house.
In our living room, in our sitting room, in our back porch.
There are both girls and boys on my team, but on our soccer uniform shirt, it has a picture of a boy kicking a ball.
That is very aggravating.
The How Aggravating section of our magazine is about things that aggravate us, about how people think boys are better than girls.
Plus, lots of times other teams say that playing us is going to be easy because there are girls on the team. That's not fair.
The girls, when they're younger, 8, 9, 10 years old, are really strong and really honest. They don't hold back. They say it like they see it. But then as they get older, they start to see that society doesn't treat women as fairly as it treats men. And they start to get the message from grown-ups that they shouldn't raise a ruckus about it. They should just be quiet.
In the moon, girls can say whatever they want and it will be accepted.
You can help decide what goes into New Moon. Get together with your friends and write letters, draw pictures, make up stories and poems. They write in from all over the United States and from different countries.
Hi, Katie.
This afternoon I had a conversation with a girl named Katie Euler, and she drew some cartoons and sent them into New Moon.
Do you have any ideas for the Adventures dolls?
My name is Katie Euler. I'm 11 years old, and I live in Minnetonka, Minnesota.
says, "Dear Katie, three of your Nine Lives cartoons are appearing in the September issue of New Moon, and they gave everybody here a good laugh. I got into cartooning because I like to show my opinions through drawings. I usually do my cartooning either at my desk, in my closet, or on my bed. I've always liked my closet because it's a more private place where I can just think about what I want to do. These are a couple cartoons that I plan to send you to New Moon. This cartoon is on the evolution of Barbie. The first one shows Barbie in 10,000 BC trying to build a fire. Then to her dismay, she's chipped a nail and says, "Me chip nail, that not good." Now there's Barbie here in 1893 running along a bike path. She finds that hair number 35,607 is out of place and must fix it. Some things never change.
My name is Kathy Meredith. I work with Esteem International, and we make Happy to Be Me dolls.
Kathy Meredith's company contacted us when they heard about New Moon magazine.
We're really excited to get your input about the product we're making. You'll see her ribcage goes straight down. It's not indented. She has a rounded stomach. She has normal size neck.
Once girls get used to this Happy to Be Me doll in this shape, will you start making like a little fatter and stuff?
We will definitely give her a heavier physique.
It's a box. In later boxes, you should change the colors because these colors, they're pink, no, they're purple, no. Violet, like one of those colors.
Oh, you can wear pink and purple because you're a girl.
We should get, you know, maybe red and black or something.
Oh, I saw something about makeup.
My name is Jill Elaine, and I'm 10 years old. I went up to the attic to work on another color about Kathy and her doll and stuff.
We think her invention is neat. She will probably be coming out in many sizes, shapes, and colors in the future. These are some of the things that we don't like about this doll. Some of the clothes are too fancy or flirty. They look like they're wearing makeup from about 3 to 5 feet away.
That article's going to be in their name and the issue that's going to be based on dolls and Blaney inventors.
It feels really good to see what you've been working on for so long, ready to go out to subscribers and bookstores.
And you published this?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah, I think I
did
probably
this. New Moon is up to help girls save their dreams. And to tell them that no matter what anyone says, you can be whatever you want.
One of the ways things get changed.
That was on Nickelodeon, on Nick News, if anyone missed that part. Does anybody have any questions first? About New Moon or about the video?
Is it dealing with sexual harassment? For younger.
Well, yeah, there was an article written by a girl on her experience with being sexually harassed at school. And then there was an article in the Parents magazine from a parent's perspective about her daughter experiencing sexual harassment. Yeah. Yeah, there's a study I think the AAUW did, and it found 9 out of 10 girls.
This is a real issue for my daughter.
Yeah.
It's really, I cannot believe what they're having to do. It's just, and she's 14 and older, and are they thinking anything for older girls?
You know, a lot of people ask that, and I think that's the next thing that they would do once. I mean, it's so hard to begin a magazine and to get it off the ground. It's not really making money yet. It's breaking even. And I think that the next thing they would do is have a magazine like this for 14 to 18-year-old girls because, like you said, there isn't anything. I mean, can anybody think of a good magazine for girls that age? What do you read? Is there anything good? Even for that age,
no, I mean,
there's
I
really,
books
there's,
magazines.
Yeah, there's really.
That I will read, I mean, I'll read books, but as far as good literature, I was getting the magazines really.
Yeah.
Or outside or something, but.
Does it recommend literature for girls to read?
Yeah, each, there's book reviews in each issue, and then the parents' publication is real good at that. It has ideas for parents to read. Like, has anyone read the book Mother-Daughter Revolution? That is really a good book as far as talking about how to transform the relationships between mothers and daughters into becoming allies. Instead of mothers find themselves really kind of teaching girls how to adjust to society and how to adapt to sexism rather than really teaching them to be mouthy and fight back. And do you know what I mean? You're kind of, in a way, you know, betraying your daughters. That's kind of the theme of the book. So it talks about moving from this betrayal into working as allies to kind of change things. That's kind of the theme of the book. Did you have a question? No? Okay. The girls who work on the magazine meet twice a month for about 2 or 3 hours at each meeting, and they go through these stacks of letters and submissions from girls and try to decide what to publish. They also go through all the things written by the adults, because about a third maybe of each issue is written by adults. So they go through and decide what's going to be in which magazine and cut it down or add to it or, you know, send it back to the author and ask him to work on it some more. But that's kind of roughly how, you know, the process. And then it goes to a professional layout and graphic designer. All of that is done professionally by adults. But the girls are really the ones who decide what goes in the magazine. And a lot of people don't believe that. And if you watch the editorial board in their meetings, you can see that. It is really true, but it was meant to be a collaboration between girls and adults. And the woman who started the magazine, Nancy, whose twin daughters those were, found that there are all these barriers to working with girls. And there's a list of them. I thought that they were good. There's some of the rules of normally that you function under are: don't be honest with girls, they can't handle it. Girls can't understand adult feelings and experiences. Don't let girls challenge adults. Don't challenge girls. Girls don't have important things to say. They don't understand their own experience. Girls can't handle complexities. Girls don't know what real life and real disappointment is. Girls aren't interested in talking to adults. Girls don't listen. And girls are frivolous and petty and absorbed in childish pursuits. Now, obviously, she had to get rid of all those crazy ideas, or the magazine would have folded after the first, would have never been a first issue if she didn't kind of throw all those ideas out the window. But don't you think adults think that about girls?
About girls, so girls think that about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you see? I don't know that if I think those things, but there's that mother-daughter rivalry that just, you know, makes it sometimes difficult. And I, you know, sometimes I wonder how much of that is myth and how much of that is reality, and so much of it, if it is, it's big myth because it happens. And maybe it's the 14 and beyond where there's a pull away from mother. But I mean, I could see the magazine bridging a project like this bridging a lot of the gaps between mother and daughter, but there still is that phase where your daughters just hate you.
Uh-huh. Because I think if you're stuck in this role of protecting them from all this awful stuff, I mean, so much of what your energy's into is, you know, don't dress this way, or people will tease you, or look at you wrong, or don't be out on the street after this hour, or don't do this, and don't do that, and sit with your legs together, and you know what I mean? A lot of energy is spent on on trying to mold them, really, so they won't be victimized.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
And so that automatically puts you at odds with the person you're trying to...
My daughter says, you've been saying this since I was 2 years old. But she also says, I'm out there being an actress. I'm pretending. Because people who are being, you know, are really blessed. I was really thinking. She knows it. She knows that she's got this role she's supposed to be playing to be okay. And things that she can say it.
That's a great amount of insight.
I think she's been through a lot of extra things
Well, that's how I was when I was 14. I mean, I don't think I was myself at all. Yeah.
I was
thinking one thing that might be interesting to do is to write down qualities of 9 and 10 year old girls that we know, or our daughters, or ourselves when we were that age, and then write down things that come to mind when you think of a 15 or 14 year old girl. Just to see what happens and think about why is that? What happens in those years? But yep. Oh, okay. Does somebody have an idea about something that comes into mind when you think of a 9 or 10 year old?
Chutzpah.
Oh yeah. Nervy or?
Nervy or feeling, you know, just kind of whatever's in there comes out there.
Yeah.
You know,
confidence
about it. Right. Yeah, you know. If you have a strong feeling about something, boy, you put it out there.
Okay. What else?
Curious. Adventuresome.
Yeah, that's true. You know, one thing too is, I don't know how to spell, is a lot of girls who are 9 and 10 still feel really good about their bodies.
Yes.
They don't think they're fat, they don't think they're, do you know what I mean? Not, I mean, they're worried about their hair or whatever,
they're sure,
freckles, but.
They're sure they're going to beat those boys, other men. They're sure they can
compete.
Right,
yes. A girl maybe who's 14, or yourself at 14, I don't know, what kind of things come to mind?
Self-conscious.
Yes.
That's what I just guess.
Oh, they're worried about?
Girls, what they are.
Yeah. Well, when I was that age, I was so totally preoccupied with what every boy thought of me that it was ridiculous. I mean, now that I think about it, and I don't think a 9-year-old girl, Brianna, could just care less. And maybe that's going to change in 6 months, 2 years, I don't know what. But there's this point at which all of a sudden, what someone else thinks of you or how someone else defines you is hugely important.
I don't think it's just boys. I think
no.
It's a peer kind of thing too. I mean, I think it's this need to be accepted by whoever gets identified as who it is you want to be accepted.
At that age.
Start to what?
Probably. I mean, the boy relationship. That's my just
Because now they've been improved by lots of guys.
So what happens? And I'm sure, you know, things happen, but I think it's different for boys. I think, you know, if you, I think it's a little different. But what happens to a girl between this and then a few years later, this? I mean, do people have, you know, what is it?
I think it has to do with the transition from child to woman. Those roles are just really, really different and a tough place to be in society.
Just becoming really aware of what their sexuality, the power of it, and the, like you said, the vulnerability of it is scary. They don't know how far that power can go before it's been destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the, and it's the way that they're encouraged to get
with them. Mm-hmm. A lot of it too is what you, I don't know if anybody really looks at 17 magazine or those magazines, but they're, it's kind of scary. I mean, you can see why this happens. Is, you know, the whole focus is on how you look, what you wear, what boys are thinking.
Well, it's kind of funny too, because like for me that wasn't a focus. I hated 17. I had nothing to do with it. But I made like a point of doing that, and I remember that was a decision. So I'm like, it's weird. I just didn't care, or I didn't want to care. I was excited about it.
Yeah.
But I think they're definitely.
But the girls on TV, yes, that you see too, that's, I mean, that's kind of what, you know, they're kind of preoccupied with the same, with the same things.
I just wonder, you know, with the boys being so immature, what is all that she's talking about with them? Because, you know, the books and the things that she's reading, what she's talking about, she has to put on the job because none of these boys have been like that.
Down.
Mm-hmm. We keep wondering, are they just not telling each other that they're thinking in these places?
No. What were you going to say?
Hi.
Well, I think that part of what happens is that kids get to be kids.
Come on.
Kids get to be kids, and then there's a point at which boys get to become men and girls need to become ladies. And so there's this kind of cultural pressure, and I don't that to be quiet, to be nice, to be kind. And so all those assertive kinds of qualities, which are valued in boys, so they kind of get to continue to do that stuff, are not as valued in girls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's.
You know, the things my daughter's coming home with from school is that girls are beating each other up. She's getting threatened all the time with getting beat up. That's different from the actress, but it's not that different from some kids, you know, 20 years ago experienced.
Mm-hmm.
But the girls.
I was going to say, the only reason why girls don't know the girls to be in love is because they might be jealous. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems girls, like your age, there's more competition between them. Maybe, and like you said, they're jealous, whereas younger girls, I don't know. How old are you?
Me?
Yeah.
11.
you're right in the middle of all this. What do you think?
About
what we're saying about 9-year-olds and then 14-year-olds and how it happens.
Sometimes the girls, they start to hang out with boys so that they'll get noticed more. Because if they're just hanging out with other girls, then they don't ever get noticed and nobody really ever pays attention except like other girls.
so it's just kind of, it's all kind of, everything's all messed up. It's not right. Nothing.
Okay. Yep.
I think that girls are trying to do a lot of boys' work so they can be around them more and they'll notice them, how good they play or not.
Well, that might be one reason girls are doing boys' sports.
Boys' sports.
But some girls I think are just really great athletes, and for so long they didn't have any way to compete, you know, and be on teams. And now that's open to girls.
I think the reason that girls want to do boys' sports is because boys, I know some boys in my school, they think they're so good at everything, and girls are so bad, that the only reason they do it is just to show that they're good at things that they're not so good at. Because I know this one girl, she's real good at basketball. She plays better than some of the boys on my classroom. They're like real embarrassed because of it.
Yeah, that's like the worst thing, isn't it, for a boy, that a girl is better than them. I mean, think about that. One thing that was really, really sad is the Duluth newspaper asked, they have a series every month where they ask a question of kids, pretty much this age, 8 to 15 or whatever, and kids write in their answers. And one time they did it for boys' answer, what if you woke up one day and you were a girl? And for girls, they asked to answer, what if you woke up one day and be a boy? And the answers the boys gave were just terrible. That it would be like the most terrible thing in the world to wake up and be a girl, because you'd be weak, and you couldn't run fast, and you'd be dumb, and you'd be stupid, and it was just horrible. And then the girls who woke up one day and could be a boy, you know, say, oh, I'd build a tree house, and I'd, you know, go off here and go off there, and it was like a big, it was a terrible exercise in switching the roles. It was really depressing.
It's interesting with these girls fighting that the boys are encouraging them to fight because they think it's so very funny when they fight, and it's a good show if they fight.
Yeah.
And they're really egging on, and the girls are hooking to that, or just have no clue that they think it's the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Whereas if they fight, it's serious stuff.
Yeah. I can pass out some of these magazines if people want to take a look at them. And then, I don't know, the girls here who've read the magazine, what do you think about it? Or do you like it? Or
do you have a subscription to that one?
Yeah, thank you. What did you want to say?
It's a lot better than all the magazines I've seen. Because, I don't know, at our school, at another school, everybody, the fifth graders act like they're 17-year-olds. And they're just always doing all this, I don't know. And Moon, it's just such a much better magazine. And I know some people that have it, and they stopped reading all those other magazines.
Oh, yeah.
Because they finally realized that those other magazines just...
Yeah. One thing that's interesting is there's this section called How Aggravating, and girls write in things that really bug them. Usually they're about boys. And or just things that are unfair about, you know, words that we use, like, why it is Game Boy, why is it a Game Boy, or, you know, just little things that they notice. And it's amazing how many girls write in to New Moon Magazine and say that that's their favorite section. And it's also amazing how many adults write in and say, I can't stand that How Aggravating section. You are encouraging girls to whine and complain. And it draws the most complaints from adults is this little page where girls get it out about what bugs them. And it's just amazing how many adults just can't stand that. And say, oh, that awful, how aggravating column. Here, I'll pass out some of these, and people can, who haven't seen the magazine, can. Yep.
I think it's pretty good that they made this magazine, because it's like sometimes they're confused about what's going on. So it's good to have that, because she probably not as confused anymore.
Yeah, there's always articles about different things that girls are doing that are interesting or that you wouldn't think of. There's a girl who actually flew across the whole United States. She got quite a bit of media attention, but she flew a plane by herself with her teacher sitting next to her, but she did all the landings and the takeoffs, and she did the whole thing across the whole United States. And the girls on the New Moon board interviewed her, and it was very interesting. She was just a really normal kid. In every other way, except that she's a pilot. She's 11. It was incredible. But and then there's always here's a couple more. There's always an article about a woman and a woman's work and what you know, so girls can kind of keep thinking about all kinds of things to do when they grow up. So you're not closing off your mind to certain ideas. Does anybody want any writer's guidelines to write in? I have a couple. You can, okay.
You get a different color. You want the girls one or adult one? You know,
girls one. Yeah.
Okay. Because you know, there's each. Issue also has something called Sister to Sister, and it's from someone in their early 20s who writes something about, you know, her adolescence. Or, okay, so here's an adult one. Okay. And they're always looking for submissions from parents. Desperately. We get tons of stuff for the girls' magazine, but not as much for the parents. And I have brochures too, if anybody needs.
I would like.
Do you want some?
Okay.
Yeah.
Why? Maybe ask the girls for older
than the magazine. That's what I was thinking, because a bunch of the girls who started the magazine now are 15. Or turning 15, so they're going to be too old to be on the board. So hopefully. I have a feeling, but it might be a few years. Other people have called or written and said, why didn't you start a magazine for boys? You know, they're going to leave that up to someone else because they didn't have any boys themselves. So they don't know, you know. Experience of having funds.
Okay.
Well, they're not. Somebody else is going to have to do it. Because I think they're kind of maxed out. The whole thing is run out of their house, too, which, I mean, the business keeps taking up more and more of the square feet of this person, their house, so. About all I have to say, but if anyone has any more questions, or we can just, I thought it'd be nice to have a little while to look through the magazine, so in case you don't get a chance to see it again. Does anybody have an extra green one? Can you share?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. There you go. You're welcome. That was the very first one that came out. It's actually a lot better, I think. That, you know, it got better as it went on. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this one kind of turned out to be aimed more towards the younger side of 8 to 14, I think. Yeah, and some of the other ones turned out to be more.
Thanks. I think it's great.
Oh, great.